When you go to Judah, you go back to the Jesus name side of life. And you go to Israel, you go back to the woman perspective out there. Judah's the male perspective, the headship. You go back to the woman perspective and you have to give them the shouting and praising and the feeling of the Spirit and running and jumping and kicking and doing all those things because they don't understand what you're saying. When you try to preach the Word and all they can go by is what they see and what they feel. And so if they see you in a lot of emotion and they feel something, you know, they just get all excited and scream and holler and they'll repent and come to God. Isn't that right? Mind looketh on the outward appearance. But the saints of God, that wasn't for the saints of God. The saints of God was to take Jesus, like when Jesus was pushed out in a little boat and sat down, he didn't jump, he didn't holler, he didn't shout, he didn't kick up his foot. He didn't do any of those things, did he? Is that right? Jesus didn't do that. He just quietly sat there and expounded the Word of God. Is that right? Is that the way he did it? Now you say, well, they really received it. They sure did. They nailed him to Calvary, despised him, rejected him, all of them left him. Even the 70, isn't that right? When he got through, he had 12 and said, won't y'all listen? They said, yes. They said, we don't know nothing else to listen to. So what did he do? He made them 12 the foundation of the city and let the rest of them go. Is that right? All right, so then here at little Bethlehem, this has to do with Judah. That's what it has to do with. It has to do with Judah. But for me to be able to get the Word of God over to you, some of you are so childish, I have to cut out all the singing, begin at the first of the service, sing one song to get you into the Spirit, and then after that start preaching while you're fresh, and you'll sit there and listen. But if I start late, then I don't have your attention, you won't bear with me, I can't get inspired to get the anointing to put me into the Word because I don't feel you hungry. No mother is inspired to feed a child that isn't hungry. Is that right? That's why Jesus pointed out that when we hunger and we thirst after righteousness, then is when we shall be filled. God will not fill us until we hunger and we thirst after righteousness. If you don't have any hunger, you don't need to come to little Bethlehem. That's right. Now, if you don't have any thirst, you don't need to come to little Bethlehem because I can't help you and can't do anything for you. But if you hunger and thirst, I can help you. But now if your mind is on television and your mind is on radio and your mind is on eating and your mind is on shopping and going buying and eating hamburgers and drinking pop and riding around and gossiping and sitting around drinking coffee and talking about somebody, I can't help you. I can't help you because God didn't send me to you. Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But God sent me to those that want to know about Jesus. That's right. Not a one of the others will be saved, and not a one of them will be lost that wants to know about Jesus. So then God sent me to them, and I'm trying my best to do my little bit. And when you're trying to do that, if you run across somebody that's disinterested, it's like an old briar that you hang up on, or an old root when you're trying to plow the field, and it just makes you disgusted, and you could just quit. As a matter of fact, I remember when Brother Freddie Gray came out to Brother Everhart's up there, and one night he started to preach. He got up and started to tell the people about God and understand, just quit, left, and said, he just ain't here tonight, and left and wouldn't preach. Brother Branham's done the same thing in similar manners than other ministers because they would check the Spirit and it wasn't there, they just quit, you know. Even leave their church and go to another place because it wasn't there. Then you've always got preachers that'll sit around, and if you can't get the congregation open to receive something, they'll sit there and say, uh-huh, you wasn't supposed to preach nowhere. I knowed it was me. And that adds kindling to the fire because they're deceived. They don't know what they're doing, and they're like a baby too, just wanting to get somewhere to be heard and have somebody to hear what they got to say, and don't know nothing about what God's doing and getting in with the man of God and working, and that just causes even a bigger hindrance. You get a bunch of baby preachers that's novice, and then you really got a problem. But nevertheless, out of that, you have people that love God and people that understand and people that want to go on and people that will go on and people that will strengthen the Word of God and the ways of God and cause you to be able to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you again, folks, to come to church is not to receive of God. To come to church is not to go to heaven. I say again that hundreds of people was around Jesus, but nobody got anything except the little woman. If just coming to Jesus is to receive of Jesus, why didn't they get it? Only one got it. That makes it pretty narrow, isn't that right? So then, it is up to us to be able to try to understand and to have faith in God. And when we come to the house of God, a lot of times if we have more than three songs, somebody will say, oh, the service is going to be long. Woe is me, woe is me. We've got to listen to a sermon after that. I'll tell you what, you don't need to come to church. You really don't. Anybody that's in that kind of condition don't need to be in the house of God. You say, well, where do I need to be? On your knees somewhere by your bedside begging and praying, asking God to forgive you for the thoughts of your heart, because you're in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity and your heart's not right with God. But now if you can come to the house of God with prayer and praise and thanksgiving, that's right, if you can do that and you can come to the house of God with a joy and a jubilance, being activated with His presence and willing and ready to receive, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, then you need to come. That's right. Otherwise, you don't, because you sit in the seat of the scornful, you stand in the way of sinners, and your delight is not in the laws of God, neither do you meditate in them, and neither can you receive of God. So then I ask you to try to understand and try to make an effort. I want to read in the 7th verse of the 7th chapter, and then I want to go on down and read quite a bit on into the 8th chapter. I want you to listen real good. Maybe tonight we'll say something that will help you. In the book of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, if you've got your Bibles. Now do me a favor. If you don't want to hear me, ease on out. If you don't want to learn, ease on out. I'll love you just as much. Just come and listen to the singing. And then after you listen to the singing, get up and go home. I've known people do that. Have you ever seen people do that? I've known of people that come regular to church but never listen to a sermon. Always listen to the singing and ease on out. As a matter of fact, in Olive Branch, you can just find a whole lot of them like that, that don't care nothing about God, but if you have a singing, they'll come and sit all night long. All right, now, so if you get disgusted, just get up and leave. Don't say anything. Don't sit there and twist and rest and turn and say, I got to get up and the long ways to go and all these other things. Just get up, go out, and say goodbye in your heart, and we'll love you just as much. You won't feel bad at you. If you have to go, I've had people to get up in my services that had to go because they had to work on jobs. They worked in the mill. They had to leave at night. I understood that. But we that do not work on jobs at night or have to go to work, you know, by maybe 3 o'clock in the morning, I have preached, you know, I preached and have to get up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock and be on my job. That's right. I've run milk routes and things like that and have to drive to another town to load up and get ready and have to get up real early. Still go to church and still try to do something for God. But if you don't have to get up early, you know, and when I say early, somebody said, well, 6 or 7 o'clock, that's not early. But if you have to get up early, like 2 or 3 o'clock, then I understand. All right, in 7th chapter and the 7th verse, if you will listen. Now, you might say, Brother Pine, why do you say that 6 o'clock is not early? Because the birds is already up by then. All right. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side of the land of the Gergeshene, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? There was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. In the 26th verse, And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? I want to talk with you just a few minutes tonight, and as I've always said, as I still say, what I say to you tonight will be determined by your patience, your hunger and thirst, your interest. Because when we're speaking, it is not us that speak, but it is the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within us. And inasmuch as it's not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father, then it your interest and your hunger will determine as to what God will say to you. Now, I have many things to say to you, but Jesus said, seeing that you're dull of hearing, I cannot say them. So then Jesus had the same problem, folks, that I have when I go to preach. A lot of people, you know, they don't feel that Jesus and the apostles of old had the same problems of the men of today. But you find in carefully observing Paul's writing that he had the same problem that we're having today. He spoke of the resistance. He spoke of people being contrary. He spoke of them sitting in the seat of the scornful. He warned them just as we warn them today. The same spirit that lived in the life of Paul and in the heart of Paul lives in my heart today. And the same God that warned people in the life of Paul and in the life of Noah lives in my heart today. And it still warns people today the same way that it did in that day. So then, it is not changed. Satan is still the same. He's still working, still causing problems, still causing trouble in the church, still causing division, and majorly because of desire of popularity and fame and worldly gain. That's where your trouble comes from. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. He desires the things of the world. He desires fame, personality, prestige, money, all of those things, positions in life, human praises. But God desires one thing, and that is righteousness. God wants righteousness in the earth. The Bible tells us that we are to pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, then we're pleasing God. Until we pray that way, then we're not pleasing God. And until we live that way, then we're not pleasing God. But if I can live in such a way that I can pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, and if I believe that, and if I really want that, and if I practice that to try to make it to come to pass, then God will be pleased and I will be doing the thing that pleased God. So then, let brotherly love continue among you, the writer said. Let us love one another. Let's walk together. Let us take heed in the message that we heard this morning from our brother Sweden. Let's link ourselves together to speak the same thing, to see eye to eye, to walk hand in hand. I tell you again tonight, folks, God is not divided. There is not a half a dozen different messages in the earth. Satan would have you think that there's many messages in the earth tonight. You know the reason for that is so that every individual can set him up some personal little enterprise, some personal way of life, and some personal thing to look to his quarter for his gain. But I want you to know tonight there is but one message, and I challenge anybody anywhere in the world to prove to me there's another. There is but one message. You say, what is that? The revelation of Jesus Christ. There has never been but one message, and that's been the revelation of Jesus Christ. Today it's still the revelation of Jesus Christ, and today God is unveiling the thing to where we can see it as a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's always been the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's been within the veil, and men have added to it and taken away from it until they've got people so confused, until they don't know which way to go. They've built big cathedrals around the world. They've got big television programs. They've got big outstanding enterprises. They've got denominations. They've got overseers. They've got riches. They've got wealth. And the Bible said that God would frown on them in the end time, saying that you say that you're rich and have need of nothing, and know not that you're naked, and that you're wretched, and that you're blind. I counsel of you, Jesus said, to buy of me raiment. Come and try to get some raiment from me, Jesus said. I've got some, he said, that's been tried in the fire. I've got some raiment that's been tried in the fire. Come and get some of this, he said. How do you know that we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? How do you know that that body's been tried in the fire? And that's our garment tonight. Hallelujah. It went through the chambers of hell. Is that right? And it's been tried in the fire. And God said that we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Hallelujah. So then tonight, we have one message. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, we will never come to the place to where we will see eye to eye. Don't lie against the truth.
If the Bible said we're to see eye to eye, then we are to see eye to eye. And my brother, when you go tell somebody else that you don't see eye to eye with Brother Pike, something's wrong with Brother Pike, or something's wrong with you. Amen. You're trying to shield something. You're trying to carry on something. You're not coming front and center and facing the fact. Come on. Hallelujah. You're getting afraid they'll cast you out of the synagogue. Come on, folks. Amen. You say, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian. But you're afraid they'll put you out of the synagogue. Amen. That's right. Now you say, but I don't agree with you, Brother Pike. Then why don't you come and tell me? You say, but I have told you, but you've never sat down and discussed the point of disagreement. I've had people to come and talk with me, and they'd say, I disagree with you. We'd go through the scriptures and for hours, and they'd say, that's right, and that's right, and that's right. And when we get through, I'd say, okay, brother, where's the point of disagreement? They say, Brother Pike, I believe what you're doing is right. Go right off from my home, get among the others, and do the same way that Peter done in the days of Paul. Amen. Peter would join up with them until the Jews came over. Is that right? Join up with them and walk with them until the Jews would come along. And then Peter would get cold feet, as we use the little terms, and then go back and be afraid to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And old Brother Paul got a little backbone and walked up there and said, Peter, I blame you to your face because you're to be blamed. Now he said, Peter, let's come to the point. Am I preaching the word of God? I stayed with you, Peter. I stood up there and abode with you and you heard me. Did I preach the word? No, Peter had to say yes. Then, Peter, what are you doing going the other way? Hallelujah. That's the way I believe it. Let's come front and center and let's be a man about it. If the world forsakes us, let's preach the word. Hallelujah. If everybody turns against us, let's see eye to eye. Let's speak the same thing. Let's not break ranks. Let's walk hand in hand. Let's don't be a bunch of crooks. Amen. And a bunch of cheats, a bunch of lies, and a bunch of swindlers. Let's don't run from coast to coast trying to convince somebody of something and get around what Brother Pike's saying or some other man is preaching the gospel. Come on, folks. If I'm preaching the gospel of Christ, then let it be. If not, get your brethren and bring them down here and set them down with me and show me in the word where I'm not preaching the word. I challenge everybody in the entire world tonight. It don't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been in college, or what denomination you follow. If you've memorized the Bible from beginning to end, I challenge you tonight to come here and prove to me that I'm not preaching the Word of God and prove me to be out of the Word of God. I ask you to come and prove it. I've done that for years and it still stands tonight. So then, let's find out where our point of disagreement is. It is not fair to God. It is not fair to the sheep of God. It is not fair to the ministry and to the people and to the move of God to keep little sheep torn up and divided because we are a coward. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Just because of being a coward, there's no need to keep people tore up. Let's face the issue. Amen. If you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Pentecostal, no matter what you are, you come over. Tell me where I'm wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. Give me verse and give me scripture and show it to me. If not, then keep your mouth shut and line up. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't go around telling people that we disagree. That's not right. That's all right if you've just come here and you say, I disagree with Brother Pike because we're not together and I don't understand. It's all right because you just come among us. But brethren, you can't stay among us and tear that on because you're supposed to settle it. You're supposed to find out where I'm wrong. Amen. That's right. In the scriptures in the Old Testament, when David went wrong, there was a man that went to David and said, David, thou art the man. And when Peter went wrong, though he had the keys to the kingdom, Paul said, Peter, thou art the man. And Brother Pike, if I'm wrong tonight, you need to have enough backbone to say thou art the man. But if I'm right, then still say thou art the man. Don't be one-sided. Hallelujah. It takes a coward to run around everywhere and to say, well, I love Brother Pike, but we disagree. I love Brother Pike, but I'm afraid of such and such and such. It takes a coward to do that. Now, if you come to me and you say, Brother Pike, the Word of God says such and such, and then you prove to me the Word of God says it and I don't accept it, then I'm a false prophet and you're right. But if I prove to you the Word of God and you don't accept it, then you're a false prophet. I'm right. The Bible said, let the Word be true and Brother Pike and all the rest be a lie if they're contrary. Is that right? Come on, folks. Do you believe God's Word? If you believe God's Word, then we need to stand together. Isn't that right? I love men that's got a backbone like a saw log. Hallelujah. It's people like Peter and James and John that stood when they took their heads off of their shoulders and led them to the stake. That was the kind of people that established this gospel. That's the kind of people that made this church. The blood is flowing to the bridle. Hallelujah. It's going to take a man that's not double-minded, a man with a backbone, a man that'll stand up. And when they say, brother, you've forsaken us and you don't stand with us, say, you bunch of hypocrites. Why don't you get right with God? Somebody said, but there are too many. There was a whole lot of them in Noah's day. I said there was a whole lot of them in Noah's day. But old brother Noah stood there as one man and said, you're wrong. I've heard from heaven and God has told me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Moses come down off the mountain, just Moses, one man with that revelation that stepped off the mountain and the valley was full of preachers. Moses said, I've heard from God. And you're wrong. And God stood with Moses. Hallelujah. I like that. Glory to God. I like that. Praise God. Amen. Like Brother Lamar. I appreciate Brother Lamar Couch. He's always getting tangled up into things, but I appreciate him. He come down the other day, Brother Sweeting, and he was among the Brother Branham followers. And I just told him after our Missouri meeting, I said, Brother Lamar, God's going to begin to magnify you. You're going to find things coming into your heart and mind that God's give you that you've never had before. I went begin to point these things out. And I said, little brother Joseph's going to listen at you. Little brother Branham is going to listen at you. And I said, and the brethren's going to have respect for you. And they're going to come back and begin to bow at your feet. Oh, Brother Mark couldn't believe that because he was a rejected stone. But he told me on this trip, he said, Brother Pike, I can't hardly believe it. He said, it's amazing. And he told me how Joseph believed him, how Joseph went away to seek God and to try to get straightened out. He told me, said, things are coming out of my mouth I never knew. Come on now. I said, he had been studying Brother Branham's books for years, but he said, something's coming out that I never knew. Somebody said, well, it was already in Brother Branham's books. Well, let's just see if it was. He said, I went to Billy Paul, and Billy Paul said, I can't answer you. Come on. Billy said, I can't answer you. So Billy Paul turned to another minister, and the minister said, I can't answer him. And another would come through the door. There was a great Bible scholar, and according to what I understood, and they said, you come and answer this man. Said, I can't answer him. Come on, folks. There must be something God's doing. There must be something new. If they haven't got the answer, then we've got it. We've got it. Hallelujah! Glory to God. If you don't believe we got it, bring it over here and see. Hallelujah. Now I believe in being brothers. I believe in lifting up the brother. I don't believe that you can lift any brother too high. I don't. That's a member of the body of the man that died at Calvary. That's the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh that bled at Calvary. And I don't believe you can esteem it too high. Amen. I believe that's God's body. I believe there's one God and just one God. Just one God. And I believe that God is a spirit. And I believe that God's in you tonight. And you're the body of that God tonight. And that's the only God there is. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the head of that God body. Amen. I say this tonight, that God in you is just as much God as He was in Jesus. Come on, folks. He's just as much God in you as He was in Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Amen. God is just as much God in you tonight as He is in me. He's as much God in you as He was in Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but then wait a minute, Brother Pike. Jesus was His own flesh. That was the Word made flesh. But the Bible says you're bone of His bone. You're flesh of His flesh. You're that Word made flesh tonight. According to the measure of the Spirit that God's given it. Hallelujah. Amen. You're just as much God in the earth as Jesus was God. Don't you ever let anybody tell you what. Hallelujah. Now it's according to your measure. Jesus was God without measure, remember? But according to your measure, you're just as much God as He was. Come on. I like that. You're God. You don't have to die like men. You're God. You don't have to die like men. But you perish because you won't come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So then, what are we to do tonight? Brother, we are to bring a great revival. And the only way to bring that revival is to see eye to eye and speak the same thing. To walk hand in hand. To love one another. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? It was on the day of Pentecost when they began to see eye to eye and speak the same thing that they got straightened out. Is that right? Somebody said, all right, Brother Pike, then if we're going to see eye to eye, let's go get Brother Branham's book and see eye to eye. God didn't tell me to get Brother Pike's books. God didn't tell me to get Brother Branham's books. God didn't tell me to get nobody else's book. God said to get this book right here. This is the book. Right here. This is the book God told me to get. God said, preach the word. Hallelujah. I've seen Brother Branham error. I've seen Brother Pike error. I've seen Brother Hugh error. But I've never seen Jesus error. I find no fault in that just man. Hallelujah. He is God's word. We're to come to the word of God and we're to stand on the word of God. We are not to use something to ride it as a hobby horse to say, well, I can stay over here with Brother Branham's followers, or I can stay in the Methodist church, or I can stay with Brother Pike, or I can stay with somebody else, and we just don't see eye to eye. I can't use that as a hobby horse to ride. I can't do that. That's a hypocritical way. But brother, if there's a difference between us, then we need to get together and find out what the difference is. And we need to lay it out before the public and before the people and take every jot and tittle and back up what we're preaching and prove it by God's word. It won't stand the word test, and Brother Branham said, get rid of it. That's the way I believe it. Many years ago, I was fortunate enough to come into Jesus' name before I ever knew Brother Branham. I wasn't Jesus only. I knew nothing of Jesus only, other than I heard of a church. But I came into it, I was in a Trinity, what little I knew. Having been in a Baptist church, got acquainted with a Trinity Holiness church. But God led me into it, and I was able to go to people. I even wrote Brother Branham and asked him what he'd done, how he preached. I even wrote Brother Roberts, Brother Jack Cole, Brother Allen, the others, and gave them a challenge concerning what they preached. Some of them answered, some of them didn't. Brother Branham was one of them that didn't. But let me tell you something. I was fortunate enough to learn one thing. God impressed my heart, said, son, stay with my word. And that was my theme, stay with God's word. And after being on the field for a while, in places like the state of Nebraska and other places as a young minister, then one day I became acquainted with Brother Branham and learned that his theme was to stay with the word. But God is my witness, that was my theme, to stay with the word. And I've stayed with the word, and it's proved to be profitable. It's proved to pay off. And when I found out that he believed the same thing, that made me to know even the more that those that try to tell me different are wrong. Hallelujah. To come here, my brother, to come here, my sister, and to say that we don't understand, to go off and confuse people and tie down people, or to tie them up in this area, to split up churches and cause problems, is of the devil. Amen. The devil was a liar from the beginning. And when you say you don't understand, you are a liar. The Bible said God's give you an unction that you should understand and know all things. If you've been in the gospel and you come here and you study the Bible and you say you don't understand just to ride a hobby horse, you are a hypocrite and a liar. Amen. But if you sincerely from your heart don't understand because you've not grown up in the fullness of Him, then you need, as the brother said this morning, not to gossip, to backbite, to fight, but to come to Brother Pike or to the ministry or whoever you disagree with and stand there and tell him what you understand. I've had a lot of followers that were supposed to be the Brother Branham followers that's withstood us. I've said this numerous of times from the pulpit here. And said that Brother Pike don't preach what Brother Branham does. We preach what Brother Branham does. But I asked this question the other night. Why was it that the man that pastored the tabernacle at William Branham's tabernacle, why was it that he, out of all the people that preached, said, I don't know but one man that preaches what William Branham preached. That's George Pike. Why did he say that? Why did Brother Neville say that? Why? Isn't Brother Lee Vail preaching what Brother Branham preached? Isn't Brother Palmer? Isn't the other great preachers? Why did Brother Neville say that? He was acquainted with the rest. So then that puts them in a bad light. It puts them in a bad light. When the man William Branham depended on made such a statement. Isn't that right? Why is it that you can't agree with me? Why is it you don't understand me? Why is it we're so different? Why is it that Brother Neville and I was together if he was so close to Brother Branham? Tell me, folks. Why is it that people like Sister Hattie Wright that love Brother Branham so much love us and praise us for God's healing power that healed her and caused her to get up when she was dying? Why is it that they do that? Something's wrong somewhere, folks. Is that right? You're in the Church of God. You're in the Methodist. You're in the Presbyterian, Church of Christ, whatever. You say, I don't understand like you do, Brother Pine. I don't see like you do. Then you're supposed to try to learn to see like I do. If you don't believe I'm preaching the Word, you need to go back to the Baptist church. Amen. You need to go back to the Methodist church. You need to go back to wherever you're supposed to go to. But if this is the Word of God and you feel I'm preaching the Word of God, then come and listen at me. Come and fellowship me. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I believe some of the things you're saying. I ain't got no half-brothers. Amen. I ain't got none. Benjamin's my brother. Amen. I ain't got no half-brothers. You're either my brother or you ain't my brother. Amen. In the body of Christ, there is no half brothers. All of them are whole brothers. You're not half in and half out. We got no half and halves at Little Bethlehem. Now you might come over here and sit and listen, but you're not part of Little Bethlehem. Amen. You're either all or nothing at all. Hallelujah. I've always been that way. Always been all or nothing at all. I'm not a half Brother Terrell and a half Brother Branham. I'm a Jesus man. Not the way Brother Terrell said it. When he was talking about voting, they said, who are you? He said, they said, I'm an Ike man and I'm a Johnson man. He said, I'm a Jesus man. That's not the kind of Jesus man I'm talking about. I'm talking about down in the valley years ago when I told some of them, I said, folks, we are God men. We're Jesus men. We're God men. We're the body of God in the earth. Hallelujah. We're the body of the living God. We're known epistles. We're known of all men. God has wrote his laws within our heart. We're supposed to be with Christ, walking with Christ. We're supposed to be preaching the word, loving one another, healing the sick. Amen. Supposed to be carrying on the work of Jesus Christ in the earth. Is that right? loving our brother and doing something for our fellow man, folks. Hallelujah. Now, like our brother today said, I don't understand. That's all right. You've not been around me long enough to understand. That's good. But he said, I'm not going to fight you. That's wonderful. That's the way it ought to be. And then when we stay together a while, we ought not to even be able to say, I don't understand. Because we're supposed to understand that either Brother Pike's a false prophet and a liar and a cheat, or he's a man of God and ally with him and line up with him. That there be no division among us, that we see eye to eye and speak the same thing. Is that right? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm not supposed to use something that can give me place with Brother Branham's followers so I can preach over there, and then place with Brother Pike to preach over here. I've got some that do that. I got a man that come down not too long ago. He stood here and preached and praised you and took your money and went back to the Carolinas and rebuked the very man that set his tent up for us to preach under it. And the man was so upset that he felt like he wasn't right with God. Said any man to do that, he didn't feel like he was right with God. That's right. When a man comes down here and he stands with us, he ought to have enough brass on his face to tell me that I'm a false prophet. He don't want to get in my pulpit, and that the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. And if I'm a false prophet, that makes you false followers. Only devils would listen to a false prophet. Only false people would listen to a false message. When he speaks against me, he's speaking against you. Somebody said, I believe the people is right, but Brother Pike ain't right. That's a lie. You don't believe no such a thing. Like they said on the field, Brother Branham was preaching the name of Jesus Christ. The Trinitarian preachers didn't want to preach it because they wanted the backing of the denominations and the great big crowds. So they said concerning Brother Branham, what did they do? They said, he's a prophet, all right. He's got the power of God, all right. He's got visions, all right. But said, don't listen to what he preaches. How warped up can people get? The Bible said the word of God comes to the prophets. Is that right? If he's a prophet, then the word of God, he was the one that had the word of God. Come on, folks. What it was a devil of compromising. Afraid to be turned out of the synagogues. That's what it was. Wanted favor with the Baptists, the Methodists, the Church of God, the Presbyterians. I preached in the Church of God. You know what I told them? I said, you better get baptized in Jesus' name. Come on! Hallelujah. I preached to the Catholic. I said, you better get baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody said, well, I'm playing it smart and being wise. You're not playing it smart. You're not being wise. You're a lying hypocrite. That's what you are. You want favor of men and praise of men. You're afraid to declare the word like it is and lay the thing down. You're afraid they'll go off and leave you like they did Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're not wise. You're not smart. Someday they'll kick you out. God will call your hand. They'll kick you out. Watch and see. Then you'll be sorry for all your compromising. Amen. But I thank God tonight that there is the word of God in the world today. There is the understanding of God in the world today. We can know the right way, the right word. And folks, this body that's coming up is going to speak the same thing. Brother Pike's not going to speak one thing and they speak another, and somebody else speak another. We've had that in the past, isn't that right? We've had that in the past. The Baptists took their little end of it and looked to their quarter for their gain. The Methodists took their little end of it and looked to their quarter for their gain. Everybody recruited subjects, drawed money out of it, and robbed the people. Isn't that right? Some evangelist set up his tent, and somebody set up their little program, and somebody else set up their personal enterprise. Somebody set up their own little kingdom. And everybody divided the word of God into splinters. And everybody's been confused, not knowing what's right. Is that right? Amen. The Methodist says to the Baptist, now you can come over and preach at my church, but you be sure you don't say nothing that would offend in the Methodist doctrine. The Baptist vice versa, you know, don't say anything that offends now. That's proselyting, that's hypocriting. That's right. If the gospel is good in your church, it's good in the Methodist church. If it's good here at Little Bethlehem, it's good in Monroe. If it's good for you, it's good for me. If it's good for me, it's good for the world. The same message, the same doctrine, speaking the same thing, seeing eye to eye. Paul didn't say, I'm going to preach something different. Peter, you preach something else. Philip, you preach something else. Is that right? There's no record where they preached anything different. And when Peter just got a little bit off of base, Peter didn't say, well, Paul's a great man, but I just can't see eye to eye with him. We just can't agree. God's called him an apostle to the Gentiles. He's called me the keys of the kingdom. We love one another, but we just can't get together. Come on, folks. I said he didn't play the hypocrite. Is that right? Paul said, Peter, we're going to see eye to eye. Ain't no up and ends about it. You're not going to have your little group and me have my little group. You're not going to be Brother Branham followers and you Brother Pike's followers. You Brother Terrell followers. Paul said, we ain't going to have none like that. Said, God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all that it is, Peter. If you say anything contrary to it, you're wrong. Old Peter said, folks, listen to Paul. He knows what he's talking about. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, don't follow man. Paul was too smart for that. Isn't that right? Amen. When he went over there and he said, you say you have Cephas and you say you have Paul and you say you have this and that. He said, we're just shepherds of your faith. Isn't that right? He did that to get to cause the devil to get his guard down. Isn't that right? Then he turned around and said, be you followers of me as I follow Christ. Come on, folks. A wise, smart, righteous man. He knew he had the revelation. He didn't have no business following the others. Is that right? Amen. He put him on the spot. Said, don't just say I'm of Paul and Apollos and whatever. He said, follow me if I got Christ. Amen. I put him on the spot. Follow me as I follow Christ. Is that right? Follow me, brethren, as I follow the word. If you find me out of the word, don't follow me. But if I've got the word, stay with me. As I stay with Christ. Have a backbone. When you find the fellow man that's contrary, don't jump on him. Don't abuse him. Say anything to him, but call him to the word. When he says quotation of such and such, say, brother, where's the word? The prophet said, stay with the word. Is that right? Somebody said, them books is the word. According to what I understand, Brotherly Vale done a little bit on them. Somebody else done a little bit on them. And I understand it, Brother Branham was displeased with what Lee Vale done on him. Show them where is the word. There must be something wrong. But there's nothing wrong with this. One added here and one added there, and the scribes and the Pharisees. But brother, go back to the book. You can't come to Brother Pike and just listen to Brother Pike. You can't go to the followers of Brother Branham and just listen to the followers of Brother Branham that's preaching. You can't go to the church of God and just listen to the preacher over there. You've got to go back to the word and see what God's word says about it. If the church of God preaches right, you leave Brother Pike alone and you go with the church of God preacher. If the Brother Branham followers are right and if they're on the word, leave Brother Pike alone and go with them. Amen. But if I'm with the word, you better leave them alone and go with me. If we all get together on the word, you can go with all of us. Is that right? So then I believe in the word of God. I believe that we're supposed to preach the word, folks. Now, I believe that there is one faith, one baptism, one God. That's all there is. There ain't no more. I don't believe in half brothers in the body of Christ. I don't believe that we can say we believe this and don't believe that. That we're with this brother on this, but we're not with him on that. That's right. Bring what's wrong. Show me what's wrong. Show me my transgressions. The Bible said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people of the transgression. You show me of my transgressions. You bring the preachers. Don't bring me a bunch of quotes from Brother Branham's book. God didn't save me from Brother Branham's books. God ain't going to save you from Brother Pike's books. You bring me God's word. And you show me in God's word what's right and what's wrong. And I promise you that every jot and every tittle of it, I'll accept it. Every jot and every tittle. That's right. You prove it to be God's word. And I'll accept it. Now, but there's one thing about it, folks. There is a revelation. That revelation is right. It's the word of God. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I believe in signs and wonders. That's good. God put them in the church. We're supposed to have them. But the man that puts his faith in signs and wonders is a reprobate. The man that puts his faith in signs and wonders, the Bible said they'll run from coast to coast doing that. Is that right? He's a reprobate. Amen. But we're supposed to put our faith in the Word and produce signs and wonders. That's what God's expecting. Even the church is supposed to have power to heal the sick. At Little Bethlehem, we're supposed to have the power to heal the sick here. If we don't, we need to fast and pray till we get it. Amen. Anybody ever been healed here? Then there must be something here. You ever had a baby healed here? You've had a loved one healed here? Ever got a report from anybody that's been healed through a letter? Then there must be something here. Signs are supposed to follow you. Is that right? They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Is that right? But folks, we're not supposed to preach about that. We're supposed to preach the Word. Preach the Word, Paul said. Hallelujah. That's what we're supposed to do, is preach the Word. Not preach signs and wonders. Come on. Somebody said preaching the Word is preaching signs and wonders. That's not Bible. You've got no Bible to prove that. He said preach the Word, and God confirmed the Word with signs and wonders. They preached the Word, and God confirmed the Word with signs and wonders. Is that right? So then, we're to preach the Word. What is the Word? It's the mind of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to grow up in the fullness of the head. We've got to be translated, folks. We need signs and wonders to capture the admiration of the people. That's what we use to fish with out there. God lets it go on under the tent, and they stress that more. When I'm out there on the field, I stress that more. When I go into Mexico, I stress that more. I stressed it in Mexico so much that some of them said, when Brother Pike, who's got the gift of healing, comes down here, we'll be healed. Because I stress it. But when it comes to the saints of God here, we're supposed to grow up into the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are using that to get the world with. But we don't believe. We are not out there trying to see to believe. We're supposed to believe to see. Is that right? When we believe, we will see. They're waiting to see to believe. But we are supposed to believe that they may see. So then tonight we need to get together. I'll guarantee you one thing. The Brother Branham followers, so called, and I'm not speaking of the true ones, for the true ones will line up with the Word, because the man preached the Word. But the troublemakers and the so called, they won't come here. They won't come here. Some of you's tried to get them to come here. They won't come here and sit down with Brother Pike and discuss the Scriptures. You know why? Because they know God's in this place. And they're afraid if they have a discussion, their people will learn it. And their people will come here and start following this. That's what's the matter with them. Amen. I challenge them to come down here. Let them come down here and have a discussion with me and show me where I'm wrong. Bring the people. Put the people out there before them. Let the people hear it. That's all right with me. We ain't got to get up here and fight. We can stand up here as brothers and have a discussion. Paul said, I disputed the Scriptures daily. Amen. Let the church of God come. Let the rest of them come. We ain't got to fight and be men of corrupt mind that's going to be reprobates. We can discuss the Scripture. Hallelujah. And see who's wrong. If I'm wrong, then I want to be right. If they're wrong, they need to be right. Come on. Hallelujah. I still say that this church is going out of here is going to see eye to eye and speak the same thing and walk hand in hand and not break ranks. And I didn't say see half eye to eye, not half eye to eye, but see eye to eye. Somebody said, well, what kind of eye? The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. We are going to see eye to eye. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes now. But we're going to see eye to eye, folks. There's coming a time when we're all going to line up together. When Gideon took them little clay pitchers and he told the people, he said, God has declared to me is about to destroy the enemy. He said, I want you to gather around this great place where they're in, this valley. And I want every man to stand in his position. And I don't want any man getting any other ideas. Come on. I want him to do exactly what I'm telling him to do. The Bible said God is setting the body overseers. Somebody said, I don't believe in overseers. We'll just take the books and the tapes and we'll do this and we'll go into homes. You hypocrite. I said, you hypocrite. You're trying to get your little nest egg of your own. God set in the church overseers. Somebody said Brother Branham was the overseer of the church and that was it. You liar. You liar. The Bible said God set overseers in the church. Not set Brother Pike in the church. Not set Brother Branham in the church. But God set overseers in the church. And there's still overseers in the church. The church is not dead. God is not dead. Brother Branham's dead. But the overseers are still alive and they're still in the church. God set overseers in the church. The fivefold ministry is God's overseers. How do you know that? Overseers, that's somebody that has an extensive view that can see farther than the children and look out for the children to watch. That's the shepherd that watches to keep the wolf away. Is that right? God's got overseers in the church. Them people like to pull away so they can get a little group going over there so they don't have to obey nobody. They'll grab up a dead man's book because they know the dead man can't tell them nothing to do. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, they got the books. I know they got the books, but it's just like Jesus said in the days of Moses, said, you got the law and you got the word I gave Moses, and none of you obey it. Is that right? He said, there's not one of you that obey it. Not one of you. I gave the law to you, not any of you kept it. Is that right? And the Bible said, no flesh shall be justified by the law. Is that right? None of you keep it that Jesus said. It's the same way with Brother Branham's books. They got them and none of them keeps them. Come on. Oh, somebody said, I know somebody does. I'd love to meet him. I'd love to see him. I'd love to meet him. I'd love to see him. They keep what they want to keep of it. What they don't want to keep of it, they leave it alone. Like a brother told me not too long ago, Brother Lee Vail started preaching across the land and had great meetings and called Brother Branham's followers together. Hundreds of thousands, they were having Brother Branham meetings. Folks, don't you know you can't have a Brother Branham meeting? Brother Branham's dead. That was a Lee Vail meeting, not a Brother Branham meeting. If somebody calls you into the house or calls a group together, that's not a Brother Branham gathering. Now, Billy Paul could call them together and have a Brother Branham meeting, but it'd be a Brother Billy Paul Branham meeting. Not a Brother William Branham meeting. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. You can't call people today together and have a John Wesley meeting. No more than you can have a Martin Luther meeting. Come on. Ain't but one meeting you can have, and that's a Jesus Christ meeting. You know why? Because he's not dead. He's risen from the grave. We're having a Jesus Christ meeting. He's alive. The others are dead. Now then, when Brother Lee Vail was gathering hundreds and thousands of them, he was going back to the quotes, going back to the quotes. But one day he got off the quotes. And there was a man watching and the man said, Lee, Brother Branham didn't say that. And he said, Lee said, I don't care what William Branham said. Come on, folks. Where are we going? They're after the followers. Paul said, men of them own selves will rise up among you and lead people away after them. Is that right? They are after the following. That's right. Instead of getting a message from God and getting something from God, they got them a following. But you know what it's like? It's just like Aaron when he took Moses' following down the valley. Is that right? When Moses finally did come back off that mountain, he said, Aaron, what in the world have you done? And Aaron said, I feared for my hide. They're about to stone me to death, said I had to get some kind of religion. Come on. So they named it Methodist. They named it Baptist. And Brother Branham said 3 years and they'll get together in what he called the William Branham message and said they'll make that a denomination. Come on. Come on, folks. They're drunk off of the doctrines of the great whore that sat upon many waters. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that Brother Branham's doctrine was the great whore? They haven't gathered together in Brother Branham's doctrine no more than they have Jesus Christ's doctrine. Brother Branham's doctrine was the Word of God in Jesus Christ. And when they gather together in that Word, we'll all see eye to eye and speak the same thing and walk hand in hand and not break ranks. Come on. Amen. This is not the harlot's preaching. But they're drunk off the wine of fornication, drunk off the bright lights, drunk off the good things of life, drunk off the cares of life, wanting fame and popularity and men to notice them, wanting money and prestige. Amen. You love the Lord? So then we need a man with a backbone that cares about humanity and cares about people, wanting to stand up for God and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that, don't you? So, I feel this way. God is fixing to break something in this Carolina meeting. God is fixing to break something. And folks, He's going to draw people to the line. Amen. He's going to draw people to the line on this thing. And you men that's got a backbone, don't go fussing and biting and be a bunch of reprobates and fight with everybody. Don't do that. You go out there like a man and you stand there in the love of God and you tell them about Jesus. And when they say something, say, show it to them in the Bible. Show it to them in the Bible. They say, well, it's in the book. Say, Brother Branham said, preach the Word. His book, if it's in the book, if it's God, it'll agree with the Word. That's what he said, go by the Word. Is that right? Go by the Word. Say, show it to them in the Word. If they can't show it to you in the Word, and then they pull out the sword and want to fight, don't spare them. The man that holdeth back his sword from blood, cursed is he. If you spare any of them, there'll be pricks in your side. Come on. God arise. Hallelujah. Rise and take the kingdom for God. Rise up, brethren. Take the kingdom. You can't take the kingdom if you don't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. David was a swordsman. Everybody in the land feared him because they knew he was God's swordsman. They knew the hand of God was on the handle of that sword when David walked through the land. Come on. Amen. They shook and trembled because they knew that wasn't David's hand. But that hand represented that fivefold ministry and they knew that was the hand of God on that sword. Nobody could stand before it. The Bible teaches that no man will stand before you all the days of your life if you'll stay in this word. Stay in that word. Said, this is the inheritance of the saints. This is the heritage of God to the saints, that no man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life if you'll stay in the word. Come on! If you don't know the word, learn the word, study the word, love the word, stay with the word. Hallelujah. Don't get over yonder somewhere with a bunch of people and they start giving you a few quotes and they get you all tore up and they say, then you start thinking in your mind, oh my, I've done got over there with Brother Pike and I got all tore up in my mind, I don't know what I'm going to do. Here they got the quote, just do like Brother Lamar did, say, give me the answer. Come on, folks. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're competing with Brother Branham. Brother Branham's dead. I can't compete with Brother Branham. If Brother Branham was alive, you'd have a different thing to say. If Brother Branham was standing here and I was standing here, then we'd be competing with each other. You understand? But Brother Branham's dead. This is a new day. This is a new move. God said, I'll do a new thing. This is God's new thing, folks. We're not competing with Brother Branham. We're competing with the devil. Hallelujah. God is wanting us to see eye to eye. Now then, if I'm wrong, you come and tell me. Show it to me. Don't come as a bunch of reprobates and bring a load of books down here trying to show me nothing. Hallelujah. If you do, I'm liable to pull out the books on you. That's right. I'm liable to call you to record and see if your name's wrote up there. I had one fellow to come down here and he kept pulling out the books and kept on lambasting my people. So one day I went to pray to God to see if his name was up there and a voice said to me, said his name ain't on the roll. Come on. Said his name ain't on the roll. You understand what I'm saying? So then the thing to do is to check up. Check up. If you love God, check up. Now, I say this again in closing here, that it is unfair
for you and I to tear the little sheep up and to divide the little sheep and to lead God's little sheep astray by saying, well, I don't know whether we're together or I don't know this. Like I said, if you're new here and you come here, I understand that. But you that's been here for days and weeks and months and you go hobby horsing around on that, you're of the devil when you do that. Come on! I don't back up on that statement. When you do that, you're of the devil and you're causing division and God's against you. But if you're of God, you'll come to me and you'll say, Brother Pike, there's some things that I don't see eye to eye, brother. Now you say there's things I don't understand. That's all right. If you go to a brother and say, hey, Brother Pike is preaching things, I believe he's a man of God. I believe he's preaching the Bible, but he's preaching some things that I ain't got in yet. I don't understand them, but I know that God's going to give them to me. That don't cause division. But you go to somebody and say, well, I believe Brother Pike's a man of God, but I don't know. I think he's wrong on that over there. And I don't know where they can prove that. And that ain't what, Brother Bram, you causing division. You're supposed to come to me and say, Brother Pike, over here it's wrong, such and such and such and such. Did you know that every person that has taken that outlook, everyone that I've ever got a hold of or got with me, did you know they couldn't show me nothing? They come and was going to tell me, and when they got through, they had to agree that what I said was right in everything that I said concerning the Scriptures. They had to agree and get up and go out. Amen. Like Brother James said, they come in like a lion and went out like a lamb. That's exactly the way they done. He made the statement, one fellow kept talking about what he would do. James said, I wish he would come over here. He said, I believe he'd come in like a lion and go out like a lamb. He did exactly that. He come in like a lion. And finally said and said and said what Brother Branham said. And finally his own son sitting there said, Daddy, I believe that. That anybody can see that. And his daddy had to shut up. Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Blind leaders of the blind, they all fall in the ditch. That's right. So then tonight I'm not boasting in strength. I'm boasting in God. I'm boasting in the Word. It is a shame that we should take the little sheep of God and tear them up and divide them up by riding a hobby horse of saying, well, Brother Pike's this and that, but there ain't no buts about it. I am either that or I ain't that. There ain't no half brothers. There ain't no in between. I ain't no half prophet. God ain't got no half prophets. If I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet. If I ain't a prophet, I ain't a prophet. If I'm a preacher, I'm a preacher. If I'm not a preacher, I'm not a preacher. Ain't no in-betweens about it. Somebody said, I believe he's a man of God. He preaches such and such. But there ain't no buts about it. Amen. He either is or he ain't. He's either in or he's out. He's either a prophet or he ain't a prophet. Come on. Somebody said, well, he's a false prophet. He's still a prophet. It takes a prophet to be a false prophet. Come on. Amen. Somebody said, well, I didn't believe he was a prophet. Well, why'd you call him a false prophet? You got a divided kingdom. You don't even know what you're preaching. Somebody said, well, he could be anybody and be a false prophet. He could not be anybody and be a false prophet. Anybody is not a false prophet. It takes a prophet to be a false prophet. Come on. Amen. Come on. How could he be a false prophet if he's not a prophet? Is that right? So then we need to get together. Hallelujah. All right. I love you and I appreciate you. But we had a lot of division in the last 6 or 8 months. A lot of different people coming in. We're going to have that. A lot of people have come in with all godliness and sincerity to learn and to work with us. We've had that, and I believe Brother Sweden is sincere. I believe that from my heart. I've expressed that from the pulpit. I believe that. I believe I've got some others that's come in as just as sincere as they can be. But I've had some to come in that is outstanding leaders in the other church denominational groups from the Church of God in different places that's come in here and others. And I've had some that's come in from Brother Branham's following that is the leaders that's holding some of the great meetings and come here and deceive you by taking your money and standing with you and praising you and then go off and reject your shepherd. Come on. And it just so happens I was the one that led him to Brother Branham's meeting, his ministry. I led him into the Brother Branham message. He knew nothing of it. I led him into it and led the people that fellowship with him into it. Come on, I was the one that did it. He confessed himself, said, I never knew nothing of William Branham until you brought it to me. Come on. Just like the people around Athens, I led them into it and look at them. I brought the message of Brother Branham to Athens, Georgia and led them people into it and look what they've done. They've got their little groups and everything else and got off over there in riding some hobby horse with books and everything else and turning people away from God and causing problems. Amen. God didn't call them into that. I didn't lead them into it either. I led them to Brother Branham's message and led them to the Word of God. Amen. They got a little bit of knowledge and they got puffed up. The Bible said knowledge puffeth up. If they'd got some charity, they'd got something that would edify the people. Come on. But a whole lot of knowledge. I had one of the men that's leading them over there came to me about a number of years ago. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this knowledge. He had Brother Branham's books, Brother Branham's tapes. He had them lined up almost everywhere. And he said, man, said, all this that I know and all that knowledge, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I sat there and I thought, well, I got a pretty good idea what you're going to do with it. And that's what he done. That's what he done. Knowledge puffeth up. Folks, charity will edify. You love the Lord? So then let's get together. Let's love one another. Let's not divide the saints of God. Let's not cause problems. Hallelujah. Let's see if the Word of God is right. Somebody said, well, what we'll do, we'll prove it on a miracle. You liar, you produce a miracle, and every time you produce one, I'll produce one. Come on. Every time you produce one, I'll produce one. You can't prove it on a miracle. Somebody said, ain't no vindication. I ain't seen none you done. Where is it at? Come on, let the people see it if you got it. Elijah called him to a challenge. You come on up here. You ain't got it. You know you ain't got it. The greatest percent of them that's running around on the field ain't got it. I've met them. I've met them in their tents. I've met them face to face. I've talked with them. I've challenged them. They ain't got it. It ain't there. Somebody said, but you'll run across one that has. Everyone that I've ever run across that had, we saw eye to eye. Come on. Hallelujah. I run across William Branham and me and him saw eye to eye and got along fine. Fellowship. And he called me out at least twice in his ministry while he was alive. He didn't speak up to me like his followers does. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So then, I love you and I appreciate you. But if Brother Branham bore witness of our ministry, if the pastor of the tabernacle bore witness of our ministry, if God bears witness of our ministry, I think that's sufficient, don't you? I believe that's sufficient. All right. So then I love you and I appreciate you tonight. But Brother Branham said, nail it on so the wind don't get it. I like preaching like this. I love preaching like Brother Sweden preached this morning. Down, right down the avenue of God. Right straight home. Saints of God can take that, folks. He will thoroughly purge his floor. I want to say this right here in close. The old thrashing floors, they used to throw the wheat in and jump up and down on it. Isn't that right? The old shouting revivals, jump up and down on it and the chaff would fly up. Isn't that right? They just beat and beat and the grain being heavy would fall down on the floor. The chaff would fly up and the winnowing fans would blow it away. Isn't that right? Same thing today. The true grain will fall and stay right there and the chaff will fly up and the contrary winds of doctrine will blow it out. Always do it. He will thoroughly purge his floor. But folks, if you don't see eye to eye with Brother Pike, you need to come and find out what's wrong with Brother Pike's eyes or what's wrong with yours. You need a good eye examination. That's right. If you can't see eye to eye with me, you need to come and tell me what we don't see eye to eye on. Someone said, well, one thing is the serpent seed. Well, you better watch out what you're doing. Come on. Come on. You say, what are you talking about? Because Brother Lamar, one that stood on that for years and years and defied the others, told me the other day, he said, Brother Pike, said, according to the way that we've been preaching the serpent seed, he said, did you know that the other brother is beginning to accept that and see that Brother Branham meant that? Come on. Come on! Then who's going to be left out of the boat? Somebody said, Brother Pike, you better watch out what you're doing. The man quoted the scripture down there where Brother Branham himself said he couldn't understand why people kept taking that natural. Come on, that's in the books. Said he couldn't understand it. Said he kept taking it naturally. It wasn't that way. Said he kept making a natural son out of it. Come on. Then who's wrong? You see what I mean? It might be do you good to get turned out of the synagogue. Amen. Amen. It might not be the right synagogue. God might be trying to get you out of there and you just won't let him put you out of there. Hallelujah. You stay with the Word of God and you'll stay with Brother Branham and you'll stay with Brother Pike. That's right. I'm pointing you back to the Word of God. I got tapes up here, but I'm not pointing you to those tapes. I believe those tapes will do you good. I believe that. I believe the Word of God's on it. I believe it. But I'm not pointing you to that.
If you can get those tapes and get something out of them, I say you ought to do it. And I thank God because they're going out, because I believe it's God. And I believe it in the Word of God as far as I literature. But I'm pointing you to God's eternal Word, this book right here. And if Brother Pike says something that don't agree with that book, don't you take it. Somebody said, well, I know something that don't agree with it. No, you don't. You got some of your ideas about it. In your mind, it don't agree with it. You ain't brought up no scripture. It proved nothing. You got it in your mind, it don't. But if you come to the Word of God and not lie against the truth, you'd see the Word of God and set you down. Come on. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Just bring it on anytime you get ready. We'll get the brethren and go right down to the point and prove it. Let the brethren be the judge of it. The Bible said, let one speak and the others judge. That's right. All right. Let's all stand together. I've said this before. We had the secretary of one of the big moves of God that's denominational come to us. Was going to find out about this thing. I said, well, come on in, brother. He was going to just set me right down and get the thing straightened out. I said, come on in, brother. I said, now, let's get one thing straight. I said, we be brothers. I said, now, I can't base the truth on what you think about it no more than you can base the truth on what I think about it. I said, I'm a sovereignty and you're a sovereignty. You've got as much right to believe what you believe as I have to believe what I believe. I said, but the Bible said, let me and you both be a liar and let this be true. I said, this is where we're coming together right here, brother. I said, if you say something that don't fit this, then you're a liar. If I say something that don't fit it, then I'm a liar. I said, we come together on this. I said, if you want to have a discussion like that, we'll get into it. When the morning come, he said, Brother Pike, he said, you're right. He said, you're on the Word, and said, we're wrong, and said, if I had the power to do it, I'd change the entire movement. And even though he didn't have the power to do that, he changed himself, and he got into what was preaching. It's right, my brother. Take the Word of God, and God will stand with you. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have Brother Pike with you. Have the Word of God with you. Just take the Word of God. Take the name of Jesus wherever you go. Take the Word of God. No man will stand before you all the days of your life. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. I guess God lets me get hoarse to make me shut up. That's right. I could go on and go on and go on and go on. But I preach so much through the years, it's rough. That's right. Try to go on. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. Now you say, Brother Pike, who was you preaching to? Now you don't have to ask a question like that. Who do you think I was preaching to? Would have done me any good to preach to somebody that wasn't here unless it was going to be on the tapes. I was preaching to you. Somebody said, well, I perceive that. Well, you got good perception. I was preaching to you. You say, Brother Pike, which one? Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. That's all of you. Every one of you. Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. I feel good. I feel good. I can't remember the verse to this, but maybe Brother Taylor, some of them can as we sing it. But let's see if we can try it. Maybe it'll help me out where I need a little help. Down at the cross where my Savior down was crucified. Oh, that to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to His name. Can you sing it with me? Oh, glory to His wonderful name. Oh, glory to His wonderful name. That to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Would it be wonderful if we were all preaching the same thing, wouldn't it? Look how quick we could bring the rapture. Look how strong my ministry would be. Look how strong your ministry would be. Every time I preached, everybody would be with me. Every time you preached, everybody would be with you. Is that right? Every time they preached, everybody would be with them. Is that right? Somebody said, I'm afraid they'd get my following. How could you get each other's following? We'd all have the same following. Everybody be preaching the same thing. We'd be everybody be behind everybody. That'd make the devil get on the run, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. That's what God wants. You could really have a ministry then. Have everybody in God's pasture following you. Because you'd be a true shepherd. Have God behind you too. He'd give you the desires of your heart and everything would be wonderful. I say this from my heart. If Brother Branham's books is right, and I believe they are. I believe they are. I believe there's some wrong in them. That's right. I do. There's never been anything written that there wasn't some misunderstanding in, except Jesus the Word. Amen. I find no fault in Him. Every other man had fault. Abraham the father of the faithful had fault. Peter with the keys of the kingdom had fault. But I say this, if that was right and they stayed on the Word of God, brother, I'd be head over heels in it. I would. But I want you to know that I'm not going to follow a group of men that's trying to get them a little following over here and there and add to what Brother Branham said when I know where he was in Revelation and who he is in Revelation and what God done with him and what message God gave him. I'm not going to go over that little group and get split up with a group over here with Billy Paul and in a group with over here with Lee Vail and in a group over here with Brother Green and a group over here with somebody else. I'm not going to do it. God's body's not divided. If they're following Brother Branham, why don't all of them get together? He was one man, one message. If we're all following Jesus Christ, why don't the Methodist, the Baptist, Presbyterian, the Pentecostal get together? Somebody said, well, one day, Brother Pike, they're going to come to that. You better believe they are. They're going to come to that, and every one of them is going to join up together. But they're going to join the confederation of churches and go into the power of the devil with lying signs and wonders and follow the powers of the devil and grow up into the image of the beast to be turned into hell. That's right. They're going to see too late. They're wrong and join together. But let me tell you something. When we gather together like Gideon did and we break the little clay pitcher and we let the light shine, those people will be so mixed up out there they won't know what to do. Them people in that valley was creatures of darkness and they didn't know what to do. You rend the veil and you break the little clay pitcher and you let the grace of God shine while standing hand in hand and seeing eye to eye, not breaking ranks. And this light will be so bright till they'll try to figure out what they got to add to their doctrine to keep their people. That's right, the Methodists will try to add a little, and the Baptists a little, and the Pentecostal a little, and here and there they'll try to add a little, and after a while, they'll have the thing so scrambled up that nobody won't be able to follow it. They're already fighting now, like this evangelist right here that come down and gave me this little book. He told me, he said, Brother Pike, when I listen to Big Gun, said, if I didn't know God, said, I'd be so mixed up, I wouldn't know where I was going. He said, there's so many different people preaching so many different things up there, it's a house of confusion. Is that right? So then they got so confused, they began to fight each other. One gets up and says, I got it. Another gets up and says, I got it. Another gets up and says, I got it. One said, join the Methodists, another the Baptists, and some said, the non-denominationals. All of them mixed up. This is right. I got the truth right here. You see it? This is right. Amen. The Word of God. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you're just adding to the confusion. Not so. The Word of God ain't never confused. Nothing. Or nobody. God's not the author of confusion. God's the author of this book. This book's not confusing. Confusion's of the devil. You just got your mouth in the wrong trough. So then, what we need to do, brethren, is to come together and those people will begin to fight each other and people will leave them because they'll see that they're confused and don't have any word of God to back it up. I've asked this question a lot of times, and I still ask it tonight. We've got a number of churches around here and got some good men in them. We got Church of God over here, Assemblies of God over here, Pentecostals all around you. Got all kind of Baptist, Methodists. But I'm going to tell you something. I've said this before. If Matthew's 28 that they're preaching of the water baptism, that they're using the titles, if Acts 2:38 ain't the fulfillment of Matthew's 28, I challenge anybody anywhere in the world, in Monroe or anywhere else, to show me where it was ever fulfilled. It was never fulfilled anywhere unless it was fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts. There's no record, Brother Sweeting, and I see him shaking his hand. He's in agreement with me that there is absolutely no place in the Bible where anybody ever baptized according to Matthew's 28 the way the churches of today baptize. If it wasn't fulfilled in Acts 2:38, then that means that the first apostolic foundation for the church broke the word of God and lied about what God said, and we might as well to quit and throw the Bible into the river. Because it ain't no good if that be true. If the first apostles didn't obey it and didn't keep it, then all of us are a bunch of liars. We might as well to quit. But brethren, they didn't break it. He said, go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they went right over there, set up the first church, baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. That was the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the only place where it was ever fulfilled. Ain't no record where it was ever fulfilled except that. So then that was the name. And we proved it on tape here a number of times, and other brethren have proved it. And we see eye to eye, we speak the same thing. The Church of God, I love the Church of God. There's some good folks in it. I preached to them. But you know what the Church of God needs to do? Get honest about the thing and get straightened out. Just like we sent a tract to be translated into Greek. Brother T.L. Larry, the man that was due to be the Church of God overseer, was the one that had that tract translated for us, and it was a teaching of baptism in Jesus' name. Why did he do that? Because he knew it was Bible. He loved God enough he didn't reject the tract. He knew it was Bible. What's a Church of God man doing putting out hundreds and thousands and maybe millions of tracts baptism in Jesus' name? Bible said you got a divided kingdom, it'll fall. Is that right? The Church of God, you know what they need to do? They need to get honest about the thing and quit confusing the people. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, they don't know any better. Don't lie about it. I've challenged some of them. You remember some of you over here in Elberton when one of their evangelists come into the Church of God. I'd been invited in by the pastor to preach. Their evangelist come in, was sitting at the table up there. Famous Church of God evangelist, preached all over the nation. The Church of God backing him up. And I walked up to him when the Lord revealed to me what was going on. And I looked at him and his wife, and I said, sister, who baptized you in Jesus' name? That's enough to make you choke on your food. It tore up so bad, she looked up and she didn't know what to do. She couldn't deny it. Finally, she said, I'll just confess. I'm not going to back up on it. She said, I was baptized in Jesus' name. Then the husband had to get into it. Then the pastor got into it. And I sat back in my trailer and I just relaxed. And along about midnight, they were still going round and around. And that Church of God pastor was really upset and tore up because he had been back in that man's ministry for years. Come on, folks. But that pastor loved me and stood with me because I told him the truth. Let me get into this pulpit knowing what I preached. And I went to him and told him, I said, I saw you in a vision, drinking, getting drunk, mixed up with the wrong people. That was years ago. The other day they come and told me, said the man come over here and wanted to know if this was Brother Pike over here. He was the preacher. He said he'd gone to smoking and drinking, gone into a Baptist church, come out of Lee College, pastored the churches of God. Reject the truth and you're in trouble, folks. The Church of God preachers need to get lined up. I called this pastor that left not too long ago. I called him to the line on baptism in Jesus' name. He couldn't fight it. They can't fight it. They need to quit confusing the little sheep. Quit aggravating them. That was all right back yonder years ago when the light wasn't very bright, but they need to quit that foolishness now. And get on out there, and them pastors need to tell them people the truth and preach the word. The Bible said preach the word. Stop that division. They're carrying it on now, not because they're ignorant like they was then. They're carrying it on now because they got a money machine. They don't want to turn it loose. Too many men got big cars and fine homes. That's right, folks. You said you're speaking against the Holy Ghost and them people. I'm not. This people here has got the Holy Ghost. That's right. But the Holy Ghost is going to lead them out. And them churches are going to become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's right. God's leading them out of the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian. We got Church of Christ preachers here. Baptist preachers here. Amen. God's leading them out. Brother Neville was a Methodist preacher. You love the Lord? Let's sing another little chorus. I'll be preaching the second sermon, and somebody say, I'll never go back there anymore. I preach two sermons at a time. Okay, let's sing this little chorus. We sang that little chorus, I love him because he is mine. Really, I didn't mean to keep you this long. I really didn't. But folks, it's time that we rose up and take the kingdom, you know. It's time that we tell him, boys, when Church of God preacher comes around or some assembly of God or somebody's preaching Trinity, you tell him, say, now look, brother, I love you. But now you need to quit your foolishness and get down to business. You know that that ain't Bible, and you haven't got any Bible for it. And if you haven't got any Bible to show me, why don't you quit your foolishness and get on God's Word before God sets your fields on fire? You love the Lord? Tell him like it is. Okay, that's the way Elijah done it. Let's sing this little chorus. How do you know that they're worshiping the god Baal? How do you know that? You say, what do you mean by that? The god Baal means god of the flesh. That's their god of their own intellectual reasoning. You know where it come from? Constantine, 325 AD. Go back. It goes back to the doctrine of Balaam. The god of Baal in the Old Testament, their own intellectual reasoning. It's their own understanding. It ain't the Spirit. It ain't the Word of God. The Word of God's not divided. I love him because he is mine. Can you sing it with me? I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus the Nazarene. Oh, I love him because he is mine. Have you come and stand around the altar with me a few minutes? Remember, tomorrow night, the meeting under the tent starts tomorrow night. And I want you to be filled up, overflowing. When you go up around that tent, I want you to carry the inspiration of the living God to them people. I want you to be overflowing with the Spirit of God. And you go there and shake those people up with the love of God and with enthusiasm for God. Getting up and going for God. When you go in there, you go in with a praise and with thanksgiving. You go in there wide awake and activated with the power of God. I want you to do it, folks. Be fervent in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Tonight, if there is any condemnation in your heart after the message our brother preached this morning on love, I don't see how any of you could have anything that you wouldn't lay down. I don't. Let's melt together, flow together in the unity of the Spirit. Bring forth your strong reasoning. Hallelujah. If anybody says different from what we preach it, say, well, my pastor's a reasonable feller, go out there and have a talk with him. Now, I can't talk with everybody in the universe. I know that. But I'm talking about men of reputation. I'm talking about preachers now. I'm talking about men of reputation. I'll talk to all the others I can. I try to. But I can't talk to everybody. I'm just one human being. But you're supposed to be a membership of what I'm preaching. All of us together can talk to everybody. Isn't that right? And as we multiply, we talk to more. You know what's right and what's wrong. But the men of reputation, bring them on. I'll be delighted to talk with them. That's the truth. God is my witness. I've never shirked to one of them nowhere that I've ever known. Everyone that's ever crossed my path across the world and across the nation, I've gladly met them. Still glad to do it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said to me one time, said, son, no man will stand before thee all the days of thy life. They never have. They never will. You know why? Because I got this. I got this. Hallelujah. Somebody said, like a fella told me here a while back, He said, I've stood before you. I said, no, just give it a little time. He came back bawling. He boasted before the people that he had. I said, give it a little time. He come back bawling and begging for forgiveness, saying he was wrong. No, you haven't done it. God will let you fall by the wayside. God will let something bad happen to you. You'll be abhorred of God. God will let you fall into the great ditch. He'll cut you off somewhere. You can't stand before the Word of God, folks. Somebody said, well, what about a man like William Branham? William Branham don't want to stand before the Word of God. He can't stand before it no more than Brother Pike can. Come on. Amen. He wouldn't try to stand before it. You ain't got to worry about folks like that. People like that are in line with the Word. They ain't going to cross you up. The ones that's with the Word, you don't have to worry about it. They got enough sense to know they can't stand before the Word of God. So they just say a lie together. And them that feel like they can, none of them can stand. God cut all of them off. Let's think that again, can we? You ladies here, you ought to be great Bible scholars. That's right. You ought to love God. You ought to know the Word of God. The Bible said Aquila and Priscilla got together over there. Isn't that right? Expounded the way more clearly. Is that right? You get an apostle, you know, that don't know nothing but just the baptism of John. You have to do something. Is that right? Church of God don't know nothing but the baptism of John. Is that right? Assemblies of God don't know nothing but the baptism of John. Is that right? Come on. Hallelujah. I'm speaking of water now. You say, but the Holy Ghost is over there. The Bible said God will pour out the Spirit upon all flesh. Is that right? Hallelujah. I trust nothing bad has happened. I see the blue light back through. You know, they got somebody stopped. Let's sing this little chorus together, folks. I love Him because He is mine. I love Him because He's divine. I will love Him forever, it seems. Oh, is Jesus the Nazarene? Don't you feel Him? Let's sing it again. Oh, I love Him because He... Lift your hands up, can you? Oh, I love Him because He's divine. I will love Him forever, it seems. Oh, He's Jesus the Nazarene. My, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Folks, listen. Don't you want to believe something? Don't you want to, once and for all, get it out of your mind that this might not be right, and that that might not be right, and that this might be right, and that might be right? Folks, you're never going to have happiness. You're never going to have peace. You're never going to have rest, because you're going to be thinking and all the time warring, trying to figure it out who's right. Wouldn't you like to anchor in something once and for all? We sang the song, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Is that right? Wouldn't you like to get one thing for an absolute once and for all? Haven't you been here long enough to know whether or not I've lied to you or whether I've told you the truth? If you don't know it by now, how would you ever know it? Come on. After being with me this long, if you don't know whether or not I'm a man of God and whether or not I'm preaching the truth, how will you ever know it? You've heard it over the radios. Isn't that right? You've read it in the newspapers. You've got the healing magazines. You've got Brother Branham's booklets. They come here. They're all around in Bill's office and everywhere. Is that right? If you don't know it's right now, you'll never know it's right. So then, we'll never be a good swordsman for God until we anchor in something. I'm going to tell you this, not to hold you, but I'm going to tell you this. Listen, it's time to take the kingdom, and to take the kingdom, we got to know what we're talking about. I spent a lifetime searching and seeking and knocking and looking and praying and fasting a lifetime trying to find out what the truth was. That's the truth. I read this New Testament through on my knees trying to find out. Sometimes I'd spend 9 solid hours on my knees reading the Bible. trying to find out. I wasn't trying to see if I could stay 9 hours because somebody else stayed 9 hours, or to stay 10 hours to say I stayed 1 hour more. I wasn't trying to do no foolishness like that. I didn't sit down and lean down. I stayed on my bones, on my knees, 9 solid hours at a time, seeking God as far as reading the Bible to find out the truth. I read through the Old Testament. I've read the Old Testament again and again and again. I've read through the New Testament many times. I talked to ministers. I talked to different ones all around. I talked to Brother Branham. I talked to others all around. And one day I found out the right way. And when I found it, the Bible said you'll know the truth. I knew it was the truth. I anchored my soul in the haven of rest. And I said, God, when I'd done it, I'd been praying, slobbering. I was down under my house in a basement, in a dungeon like. And I was slobbering and praying and choked up. And you know how you get when you bawl and cry and slobber and everything else. Until I finally was convinced. And I said, Lord, at last. At last, nobody's ever shot holes in it. It's proven. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And I anchored my soul in it, and I found peace. And today, folks, I don't have to wonder. I don't spend my time wondering, trying to figure out if something new is going to come up and throw me off. You know, I'm not, don't try to be half in and half out so that, you know, like a half breed, so that if this ship goes down over here, you can jump on board the other one.